from the concept gives the idealist a feeling of contentment, and the historical materialist the feeling of rebellion. Both are disappointed when human society does in fact pass through all the phases which can be derived from their own concept as the inversion of free and equal exchange into unfreedom and injustice. The idealist dialectic preserves the noble, the good, and the eternal. Every historical situation is said to contain the ideal, but not in explicit form. The identity of the ideal and the real is considered the presupposition and the goal of history. The materialist dialectic deals with the common, the bad, the transitory. Every historical situation contains the ideal, but not explicitly. The identity of the ideal in reality is universal exploitation. Therefore, Marxist science constitutes the critique of bourgeois economy and not the expounding of a socialist one. Marx left that task to Babel. Marx himself explained the reality of the ideology of bourgeois economy and in the dissection of official economy. He discovered the secret of the economy itself. Smith and Ricardo are disposed of. Society is indicted. The deduction of the capitalist phrases from simply commodity production through monopoly and state capitalism is, of course, not an experiment in thought. The principle of exchange is not only formulated in thought, but it has governed reality. The contradictions which the critique reveals in its principle have made themselves drastically obvious in history. The worker is both rewarded and cheated in the exchange of labor power as a commodity. The equality of commodity owners is an ideological illusion which breaks down in an industrial system and which yields to covert domination in an authoritarian state. The development of bourgeois society is limited in its mode of production, which is characterized by the economic principle of exchange. Despite the real validity of its principle, there has never been a congruence between its critical representation and the historical development, which could not be broken down. Page 109. The difference between concept and reality, not the concept itself, is the foundation for the possibility of revolutionary praxis. A necessary relationship exists in class society between the changes in the mode of production and the course of an ideology. This relationship can be deduced conceptually, but the necessity of past events determine the will toward freedom which is present in class society as little as does the inevitability of future events. For every conclusion stemming from the belief that history will follow a progressing line, regardless of whether one considers this line to be straight, spiral, or zigzag, there is a counter-argument which is no less valid. Theory explains essentially the course of destiny. In all the consistency which theory can find in economic development, in all the logic of the succession of individual social epochs, in all the increases in productive power, methods, and skills, the capitalist antagonism have in fact been growing. Through them, human beings will ultimately define themselves. These antagonisms are today not only more capable of producing freedom, but also less capable. Not only freedom, but also future forms of oppression are possible. They can be theoretically evaluated as either regressions or as ingenious new equipment. With state capitalism, those in power can strengthen their position even more. State capitalism is, to be sure, an antagonistic, transient phenomenon. The law of its collapse is readily visible. It is based on the limitation of productivity due to the existence of the bureaucracies. However, the propagation of authoritarian forms has still much room in which to operate, and it would not be the first time that a long period of heightened oppression followed a period of increased independence for the oppressed. Athenian industry and Roman landowning, to a large extent, introduced slavery, since free workers became too demanding and expensive. In the last part of the Middle Ages, the freedom which the peasants had obtained in the 14th century because of the decrease in their numbers was taken away. The indignation at the thought that even the limited freedom of the 19th century is being eliminated in the long run by state capitalism, by the socialization of poverty, stems from the knowledge that no barrier exists any longer for socialized wealth. But upon these conditions for social wealth rests not only the opportunity to demolish modern slavery, but just as much the opportunity for its continuation. The objective spirit is always the product of the adaptation of established power to the condition of its existence. Despite the open conflict between church and state in the Middle Ages, between the world encompassing cartels of the present, the opposing forces have neither destroyed each other nor fully joined together. Page 110. Either alternatives would be the end of the ruling power, which must maintain this antagonism within itself if it is to endure the antagonism between itself and those it dominates. A world cartel is impossible. It would turn at once into freedom. The few big monopolies which maintain their competition despite identical manufacturing methods and products furnish a model for future international constellations. Two friendly, hostile blocks of varying composition could rule the entire world. They could offer their followers, in addition to the Fadji, better merchandise at the expense of colonial and semi-colonial population. As mutual threats, they could always find new reasons to continue military armament. The increase in production, which would first be accelerated and later slowed by bourgeois property relations, in itself corresponds in no way to human needs. Today, this increased production serves only the ruling classes. Trees should not grow up in the sky. As long as there exists in the world a scarcity of absolute necessities, in fact, even a scarcity of luxury articles, the rulers will take advantage of the opportunity to isolate from one another individuals and groups in national and social classes, and thus reproduce its own ruling position. The bureaucracy has taken control of the economic mechanism, which slipped away from the control of the bourgeoisie's pure profit principle. The specialized concept of economics, which in contrast to its critics, deal with the decline of the market system, contains no further objections to the capabilities of the existence of state capitalism than the objections which Mises and his associates raised against socialism. These people live today only for the fight against the social reforms in democratic countries, and they have completely lost their influence. The essence of liberal criticism consists of economic technical considerations without some unobstructed operation of the old mechanism of supply and demand. Productivity, industrial methods would not be differentiated from unproductive ones. The limited intelligence which stuck obstinately to such arguments against historical progress was so bound to the existing order that it did not see that the triumph of the existing order would result in fascism. capitalism may still exist for a time, even after its liberal phase is over. The fascist phase is, of course, determined by the same economic tendencies which already have destroyed the market system. It is not the impossibility of the smooth functioning of the international market, but the international crisis which is perpetuated by the authoritarian state, which allows a humanity already demoralized by the authoritarian forms no other choice.